I mean, the only reason that I think it's so hard is because it's just so different from English. It's kind of like English, but flipped backwards and upside down, you know? So once you get your head around how it works and like the little mechanics and stuff, if that's what you're into, that makes it easier. Some people just have a good memory, or they have a good ear for language. If you don't, though, there's always a couple of phrases. There's a few catchy phrases in Irish that, at the very least, it's kind of fun to say them, and most people understand them, and it's just a way of feeling included if you're, you know, if you're in that kind of a group. But I would recommend it. Why not? I'll call it a fun challenge, and you can come back to me in however many months and see if it's been worth it or not.
That was Eilish Keneally, who's been teaching Irish language lessons to dues-paying members of the Irish American Baseball Society. Hello, and welcome to episode 83 of the Irish Baseball Podcast. Eilish will be my guest on the show today. In addition to teaching the Irish language lessons, Keneally works at the Isling Irish Community Center. She was also my guest on episode 81. When we left things off in our conversation last time, we were talking about the counseling sessions provided by the center and that there is a lack of attention to mental health care in many parts of rural Ireland.
There honestly is. You're so spot on with that. And I do think that's something you probably wouldn't notice if you did just travel to Dublin and then do a quick detour to the Cliffs of Moher and then back to Dublin again, which unfortunately is all some people get time for. But again, I'm sure on your travels you would have had encountered the same. There's just a lot of people that have a lot to say. They just are not very good at saying it sometimes. And that's just partially because Irish people are also really judgmental and will roast you so quick. You know, we'll call you out on everything. But it does tend to be a case of people expressing their problems through like humor or in other forms, because they don't really know how to express it sometimes. Otherwise, I'm guilty of it myself. But I do think the younger generation has taken on a little bit better of a mindset with regards sharing and talking about things. And hopefully we can pass that on to the older members of our own families and get them opening up a small bit, even just the smallest things of just expressing like when something's bothering you, or, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to mean, you know, the be all and end all. But I do think there's been a little bit of a shift. So hopefully we go in that direction. And I mean, it's the same here. It's just a little bit less apparent sometimes because people, anyway, from my New York experience, everyone's just probably too busy to talk about things. But it can be very isolating to live in the US as well, I'm sure. Like, again, it's not rural Ireland, but there's plenty of people that would love to have a place to go or someone to reach out to that doesn't cost an arm, a leg, and six medical bills to your house, you know? So that's what we're trying to provide here, and trying to get people in as often as they can in person. Because to be honest, once you're not isolated and once you're not lonely, that's kind of half of the battles to solved already.
That is incredible. Thank you so much for all you do there. I would like to talk a little bit now about your background, because I think you touched on it just a little bit that you do come from Ireland. And obviously the accent is still very strong, and that's amazing. So why don't you talk a little bit about your background and what led you to Yonkers, New York?
Absolutely hate talking about myself, but we'll get there. So I actually was born in New York. So that's kind of the curveball that most people are not expecting from me. But my parents emigrated out here in like the 80s, and they met in New York City. And I was born in Queens in like, what, 97 or something. And moved back to Ireland when I was about 1.5, and grew up then in kind of South Kilkenny, Waterford direction. Mooncoyne is the little parish, if anyone is familiar, but it's one of those places that I was able to travel between. So I grew up in Kilkenny, but I also spent a lot of time in the Aran Islands. So I was lucky. I had like two homes almost. And I loved it. I ended up studying music, Irish and English in UCC. And went on to do a master's in education for secondary school teaching. So I guess middle and high school here probably. And I knew I wanted to travel. I just didn't know where or how or when it was going to come about. I spent a little bit of time in South Africa, and then I decided I wanted to come to the US. And I have a godparent in Long Island. I have another godparent in Pearl River. So New York made a lot of sense for me as well. My parents have some family friends. And I ended up really just kind of landed on my feet. I just sent a couple of emails, didn't even officially know how to apply for jobs here, but we made it happen. And also turns out that I had a friend of a friend with some accommodation. So I've been here and it's settled in Woodlawn for the last year and a half. And yeah, it's nice. I've been over and back a couple of times and it can be hard. Like it's a little bit hard to just live in kind of alone away from your own family. But again, Woodlawn is a very friendly neighborhood and New York has a lot going on, a lot happening here. So I honestly do love it. I wouldn't change a thing.
So, did you move back to Ireland so young that you didn't necessarily experience the culture shock, and the culture shock was more moving back here? Is that what you would say?
100%. That is kind of spot on. I didn't really talk, I suppose, before I moved home, so I didn't have an accent. Yeah, I don't think I would have noticed anything. Maybe the weather. I don't know. That's about it.
Was your time in the Aran Islands, is that when you really started to want to preserve the language? Because from what I understand, there is a lot of Irish spoken there, and it's almost spoken more than English, if I'm, like I said, if I'm not mistaken. I know things from books, you know them from experience, but is that what sort of sparked your interest in the language?
I think so, because again, when I was growing up as a smaller child, we didn't speak Irish as like a first language or a daily language at home. It took us a couple of years later when I started learning it properly in school. My dad used to like speak a little bit to me every day, and it was just those few words. I used to get so excited to speak a little bit of Irish to him. And the same when I used to go up to his family and they would go off on a huge tangent that I was sitting there like, wow, I have no idea what they're saying, even though I still did understand Irish, just not to that extent with all the slang and all the Irish muttering and stuff. But I did find that was probably something that sparked my interest. I was like, I'd love to be able to hold these conversations at the same speed, that they don't have to slow down for me. And I guess I only learned it really through school, but I had a lot of help at home, so it is a little bit easier. And I was able to immerse myself in it, which is a huge thing when you're learning languages. And being able to listen to Irish around you is hard. Like you have to go and seek it out, like listening online and listen to radio shows and, you know, TG Cathair and programs and things like that. But it definitely sparked my interest in Irish traditional like music as well as the language. But both of those I can probably attribute to dad's side of the family and everything going on up there.
Well, I would imagine that music has to be one of the best ways to learn it because I don't think you're going to find a lot of television or a lot of media properties that are going to be speaking Irish. So a lot of those old songs still are in the old language. So I guess that leads into your interest in studying music. Was that part of it? And is preserving Irish music just as important as preserving the language?
It absolutely is. And but just to backtrack, there definitely has been such a great improvement in those media production of Irish language dramas, shows, movies, podcasts. It actually has been a complete 180 since I've, you know, been growing up even. So it's great to see that much. But again, I don't even really watch that much TV or listen to the radio that often. So again, music was one of the ways that I connected with the Irish language, just through some of the like older Seanó songs and ballads. And I do have to hand it to some of the kind of collectors of Irish traditional music, even just the people who were able to write the tunes down, because again, nobody knew how to write the notes down. Everything was learned by ear. All the stories, songs, tunes, they were all passed down by ear. And those are the type of things that are really sacred. Like they're amazing when you have them, but if you lose them, you can't get them back, you know? So that's a huge thing as well. And I think being able to read music just about, I still struggle, but being able to like study it and further my own knowledge helps me write down tunes that like my family would know, or like songs that were passed down to me by my own grandparents and stuff.
As Irish Americans here in the Irish American Baseball Society, and let's say we're going to take one of these Irish courses and we're going to do our best to try to learn the Irish language. How hard is it and how much patience do we have to pack? Because I don't know if you're aware of this, patience isn't always one of the Irish strengths here. it's a hard language to learn, am I right?
100% it can be. Yeah. I mean, the only reason that I think it's so hard is because it's just so different from English. It's kind of like English, but flipped backwards and upside down, you know. So once you get your head around how it works and like the little mechanics and stuff, if that's what you're into, that makes it easier. Some people just have a good memory, or they have a good ear for language. If you don't, though, there's always a couple of phrases. There's a few catchy phrases in Irish that at the very least, it's kind of fun to say them and most people understand them. And it's just a way of feeling included if you're, you know, if you're in that kind of a group. but I would recommend it. Why not? It's I'll call it a fun challenge. And you can come back to me in however many months and see if it's been worth it or not.
And how difficult did you find the aspect of becoming a teacher and trying to find a way to best explain something that is basically the moon to most of the people who are taking your courses? Like, this isn't like trying to teach somebody who knows English Spanish, where some of the things make sense and there's definitely been crossover over 100 years or so. But you're dealing with people who this is completely different. And I imagine teaching was something that was completely different for you. So how did you adapt to that?
Oh my God. Yeah, it's been a steep learning curve, I will say that. And I definitely still think I have a long way to go and a lot to learn myself about teaching. But I think hopefully the fact that I didn't speak it as my own first language and had to learn it from an English first, then Irish kind of point of view, I do think that helps me understand what the connections might be, because there are some. And just in general, trying to encourage anyone who's learning it with me just to be really immersed in it, to like listen to extra things or follow creators that speak Irish or any of the above. But I honestly don't know. It's so confusing to some people, and then some people really pick it up. It's kind of a fun game of, will this make sense for you, or are you just going to be sitting there looking at me like, what did you just say? So I do enjoy the challenge, and I hope they do too. They still come back every week, so good sign so far.
And what are some other ways that the center not only helps the community but helps to promote Irish culture? Because everything you're doing for the community is amazing, and I know there are a lot of Irish people in the area, so that helps a lot. But just generally, how are you promoting Irish culture and help keeping it alive in a community where we're becoming more and more Americanized every day? The world itself is becoming more Americanized. I'm not talking about Irish Americans, just you'll see people talking about college football over in Ireland. It's the whole society is doing that. So how are you keeping Irish alive beyond just these courses?
So that's actually a really good point. I think, to be honest, it's changing everywhere. And the kids growing up in Ireland now have a complete different, you know, take on Irish culture to what their parents and grandparents would have had. But as far as the Aisling Centre goes and what we do here, we have just very small, it's almost like a little sprinkle of Irish in every single random thing that I do in here, at least. Some of the other staff probably don't push it as much, but even if we're making Facebook posts, for example, we'll sometimes just include a little line, Oscar Ilga, just a small little phrase at the end or a little translation of something underneath. Again, if we're making an announcement at an event, we'll sometimes just finish it with Gurmagat or Slangafol or a little phrase that, if you don't understand what it means, you know, you can kind of pick up on it from context. And again, small things like with the youth, like the children growing up in Woodlawn, no matter where their parents are from, the summer camp that we run, we sometimes just have small little songs that would be Irish songs or little phrases of Oscar Ilga that they can pick up. And children are like sponges. So honestly, in my head, if you can kind of keep a little bit of Irish music, Irish dance, Irish like songs, traditions, cultures, phrases, even in English, the phrases, any of that, if you can impart it on the children and the young people, it's going to stay around. It's not going anywhere. So that's kind of our goal.
Saying that children are sponges is such a great line, because I know that when I was younger, like my grandfather, so proud of his Irish heritage, the family from Donegal, and he would try to instill it in us all of the time. But I don't think he knew you know, he didn't know Irish and he didn't know how to play any instruments. You know, he worked in a floor factory. And before that, he was a mailman. Like, he didn't know how to do these things. So even though he wanted to give us this stuff when we were young, he didn't know how. So I think what you're doing in that respect is so important, because if you can get this to kids when they're still in that age where their brains are developing, it's so important.
I think so. And that's a huge factor as well. Like you said, of parents wish they could teach their children Irish dancing, but they're like, I'm not a dancer. How am I supposed to teach them? So it's good to have like facilities for that and just try and open it up. Again, we have like a Leadership for Life program with the 15 to 18 year old group that we have. And last year we actually got to bring them to Maynooth for a whole week, like as part of Feroiget, to go to a leadership conference to meet other, you know, kids and adolescents, I guess, their age in Ireland, and like actually make some friends across the Atlantic. You know what I mean? Small things like that you can't always do that on your own as a parent who wants to impart something on their children, to give them their own experience and have their own take of Ireland. So hopefully we can continue to kind of expand that side of it for the young people. And then of course, give the seniors their place and their chance to come in and bond over the things that they already have, the songs that they already love, you know.
So you were my second interview of the day today, and I talked to somebody before you who is really trying to promote baseball in youth communities, especially inner city communities. And then I talked to you and you're trying to preserve the Irish culture. And sometimes I just try to think, like, we're on this earth for such a short amount of time, but what you're doing, what he's doing, you are making sure that these things that are so important to us make it to the next generation. And that's such an important legacy, because maybe we're only here for a little bit, but these things that are important to us, you're making sure that they're still here. And I just want to say thank you for that. And thank you for taking the time to be on the show. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It was absolutely lovely chatting to you. You're hyping me up a little bit too much, but we'll take the praise when it's going. Thank you so much. Gurb Mahagut.
I'm Rick Becker, and this has been episode 83 of the Irish Baseball Podcast.